when your presence comes like this, we don't always know what to do, Jesus, because we're so appreciative when you show up, when you come and be among your people like this, Lord. Lord, the service really is yours. Amen. Whatever you want to do, that's just exactly what we want to do. But Lord, we're so appreciative that you come. You said where two or three, two or more, gathered in your name, there would you be also in the midst of us. Lord, we know it's true every time, but we so appreciate it when we can sense your presence like tonight. Lord, we just love you. We praise you. Father, we love you so much. We appreciate everything you've done for us so much. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. All of the people, just thank him for the blood. Thank you for the blood. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us to go to hell. Thank you that you didn't leave us a way of escape without a way of escape, Lord. Thank you that you sent Jesus. We love you, Father, for loving us so much. And Jesus, we so appreciate you enduring the cross for us. Thank you, Lord. We'd have no hope without you, Jesus. None at all. None at all, Jesus. Our lives belong to you, Lord. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We know that. Lord, there's nothing you can ask of us that we will not respond with a heart of joy, saying, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, Father, I know you're smiling as you see these people who come out on a Thursday night in America, where even Garth Brooks is playing in town tonight. And Lord, you know that and they know that. But they're here, Lord. They're here because they're more interested in hearing from you than hearing Garth Brooks. And we appreciate Garth, Lord. You know? Hallelujah. We love Garth. Hallelujah. Blessing, Lord. Hallelujah. But Lord, we're here to hear your voice, not his. Glory to God. Father, bless these people. I know you're going to tonight. Lord, if they only hear me, they're not going to be helped at all, and I know that. Lord, I pray that you anoint their ears with ear salve, that they can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, I thank you that you anoint my tongue and make it as the pen of a ready writer, where I can speak forth your mind with simplicity and with boldness, that we all may grow thereby. And Father, for all of these things, we give you praise. In the name of your Son, Jesus. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Leonard, let there be light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to start these handouts going around. They're already collated. So take the top two. There's two sheets. Take the top two and pass them on. And we'll start some here in the middle. Hallelujah. And then Pat, can we start with you going around this way? Hallelujah. Okay, now, before we start the actual lesson, let me tell you all this. We're about to wind down boot camp. We're in the last several lessons. I asked the Lord a couple of weeks ago, I said, how am I going to know when we're through with this? I mean, you know, boot camp is supposed to be the whole point of having boot camp. And y'all are new. Let me kind of tell you what we're doing here right now. The Lord gave me the analogy that if the church, or, you know, in World War II, if we had trained our soldiers as slowly as the church trains their soldiers, we'd all be speaking German now, because it would have taken 20 years, you know, to get them trained, you know. Amen. And so what he was telling me, he says, no, the basics, you got to get them in. You got to do the fundamentals. You got to learn the basics. Just like we brought in our soldiers, our GIs in World War II, and just, you know, just start from scratch. And it's not supposed to take 10 years to get you trained. Amen? All right. So that's what boot camp has been about. So I've been asking the Lord, and we've been doing this now for quite a few weeks. And I asked the Lord, and then I said, well, how am I going to know how do you know when it's over? How do you know when you're ready to, you know, have a little ceremony? We graduate. Maybe I'll make y'all certificates or something. I don't know. But I said, how do we know? Well, he showed me. See, the end result of all this, the purpose of the gospel, is not just to get you saved. How many of you are glad that that's part of it, though? Amen. How many of you are glad you're going to heaven and not hell? Hallelujah. See, I thank God for that. And part of it is to restore you to fellowship with God. How many of you are glad about that? Amen. I mean, you know, he wanted you restored back to him. See? But really, if you're going to become a soldier in the army of the Lord, then what it's really about is this, that Christ be formed in you.
Amen.
Not that we keep going to church for the next 20 years and keep hearing about him, but where he actually becomes formed in you. We're going to talk about that tonight. So that when he says, and I've been talking to him about being taxis for the Lord, because the Lord's inside of us, right? And so he says, I want you to take me to, go out to Keystone Lake, rent a boat, go across the lake because there's a demoniac on the other side. He's got 2,000 devils in him, and I want to cast him out this afternoon. And I want to do him through your body, the Lord says. That you don't have to go fast and pray and seek God about that. You go rent a boat at Keystone. You say, yes, sir, I am your taxi. Wherever you want to go, I'll take you. Whatever you want to say through me, I'll say it. And I'm just your vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everyone pat your arm, say, hello, vessel. You're full of God. Christ lives in you. Now, see, that's the gospel. That's the truth. And the whole purpose of boot camp is to get you to the place to where whenever the Lord in you prompts you to do something, he can depend on you to let him do it. And get past all the religious stuff and get down to it, to the nitty-gritty where the rubber meets the road, where Jesus can do what he always does, and that's set the captive free, open the blind eyes, heal the sick, cause the lame to walk, save the lost, get them filled with the Holy Ghost, all that kind of stuff. That's what he's trying to do. Just get us to that place, and understand it's not us anyway. So all that stuff you've been so worried about, forget that. It's him in you.
Amen.
It's him in you. What he's looking for is obedience, not perfection.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
There's only one perfect. They crucified him when he's 33 years old.
Amen.
See, he's the perfect one. We already got the perfect part fixed. He's in there. He who is perfect is in you. See, but he's trying to get us unbrainwashed from religion to where we just hear his voice. We do what he says do. We say what he says say. We go where he says go and let God be God.
Amen.
And be humble enough to let him use you, you old flaky thing. I'm preaching to me now. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay, so we're winding down. I don't know how. We've got tonight possibly one or two more, but I think that's going to be the end if I'm hearing him correctly, and I think I am. Well, of the boot camp anyway. We'll see what's coming next,
Yeah,
hallelujah. Okay, the title of tonight's lesson is The Son Revealed in You. In you. Okay, now, what is the purpose of every soldier? To be so trained and qualified that the will of his country can be enforced upon the enemy through him. For example, in World War II, the will of the United States of America was to defeat Germany and Japan. Right? Simple enough? Every soldier went to boot camp to be trained and qualified to be able to accomplish his individual assignment in the military. Now, there were many assignments, all the way from a foot soldier, all the way up to being a general, okay, and everything in between. But all of them had one purpose, the defeat of their common enemy. Now, all of these millions of soldiers put together made one military force. Now, it is much the same with the body of Christ. We all have one common purpose. Jesus told us what that was in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 10. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, everything centers around that. See, Jesus said his whole life was, I must be about my Father's business. That, I must be about my Father's business. What it says, I don't do anything of my own. What I see my Father doing, that's what I do.
Amen.
What I hear my Father say, that's what I say. Okay? So, his whole life centered around, Father, thy will be done. Now, when we're walking as we're supposed to be walking, our whole lives will center around, Father, thy will be done. And when he says, move to Omaha, that's where I want your ministry to be. It's, yes, sir, today, tomorrow, when? It's not a matter of will I, it's just a matter of, well, when do you want me to go? How do you want me to go? And what do you want me to do when we get there? In fact, actually, it'll begin to change a little bit more than that. I had a meeting with a man earlier this week for lunch, and we were just talking, and he's a Christian man, and he's got some ideas that that he and I were just kind of sharing back and forth what the Lord's showing him, what the Lord's showing me, just kind of seeing how this dovetail. And he said, "Well," he says, "I really appreciate you coming to this." And I said, "Well, hey," I said, "my attitude, I used to ask the Lord like this. I used to say, 'Lord, do you want me to go to this meeting?'" You know, I used to ask him questions like that. "Do you want me to go to that meeting?" But as my understanding of what this is really all about is, you know how what I ask him now? "Lord, do you want to go to this meeting?" Yeah. Amen. "Lord, do you want to go? I'll take you there if you want to go. Do you have something there you want to do? Do you have something you want to say to this fella? I mean, you can say it to him through me if you want to. But if you don't want to go, I don't want to go." See, your whole thinking starts changing because you're starting to become Christ inside minded. "Lord, where do you want to go today? You know, what do you want to do today?" What do you think Paul meant when he said, "I die daily"? I don't have an agenda anymore. My only agenda is what he wants to do. Whatever he wants to do, I'm available. Y'all heard that thing, God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. He has a hard time finding availability. Lots of people with ability, they have no availability for the Lord. You know? Hallelujah. That was a little rabbit trail, but it was all right. Isn't that good, though? I just noticed it about myself, because that's the way I start. Every decision now, instead of me asking the Lord like I used to, "Lord, do you want me to go?" Now it's, "Lord, do you want to go? I'll take you there if you want to go. Do you have a reason for going to this or not? If you don't want to go, I'd be wasting my time to go." You see? Boy, it's a different way of thinking. We're getting there. We're getting there. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm saying, okay, Matthew 6:10, that's really our purpose. "Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, all of us have different assignments, different calls, different functions in the body of Christ. But we all have one common purpose. "Father, thy will be done." Amen?
Amen.
Now, we also have a common enemy who is not made out of flesh and blood, but is spiritual. Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now get this. Get this straight. Don't ever forget it. Since our enemy is not made out of flesh, weapons of the flesh have no impact upon him. Programs created by man's mind and man's efforts do not enforce the defeat of our enemy. Midnight basketball is not going to get it done. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you can have Christian counseling. You can have, I mean, there's a place probably for all that, but I'm telling you, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke.
Hallelujah.
It's the anointing of God, Christ, who lives on the inside of you, that gets the job done. Most of that other stuff will put Band-Aids on, okay, you know, until that devil gets ready to manifest again and you find out he wasn't as cured as you thought he was. But you get that devil cast out of him, or you get that cancer cured by the finger of God, and you're going to have a bona fide miracle, and the people will be helped. And that's the business Christ in you is in. He just has a real hard time getting to do anything through us. Why, Brother Gary? Because of our unbelief. That's just it. It's not all our fault. We've been taught wrong. We've been taught wrong. James says, not many of you should be masters. You're going to receive the greater condemnation. You're going to be held under the magnifying glass even closer. You know what I'm saying? God, I tell you what. It's scary, you know. But you better be preaching the true gospel.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Anyway. Get it straight, though. Programs created by man's mind and man's efforts do not enforce the defeat of our enemy. See? You can come up with programs, door-knocking campaigns, and that's fine if the Lord tells you to, you know. But just that all of the man tries to take the gospel and he uses all the world's methods because that's what we understand. And that's something, quote, we can do to try and get the gospel out. The best way to get the gospel out is like that fellow that Dave was talking about. He buys a one-way ticket to India. Takes no money with him. Dave says, well, How do you survive? How do you eat when you get there? Well, I go to a certain village. I start going from hut to hut asking if anybody's sick or dying. And when I find one, I go in, the Lord raises them up, and they feed me. And I just keep doing that until it's time to go home, and the Lord always manages to get me home. But he said, that's the gospel. That's operating by the anointing. No, I got to have a... You know, we got to have support. You know, we got to have financial support. You got to drum up your, you got to drum up your. You know, you got to go around, get all your ducks in a row before you go out there. He didn't do me that away. I doubt very seriously he's going to do you that away either. He told Abraham. He says, "You go into a land I shall show you." In other words, after you get there, see. Well, that's scary. But that's normally the path into God. There's normally not any detours either.
Whoa.
Anyway. The will of the Father is that we enforce defeat upon this spiritual enemy. Now notice I did not say it's the will of the Father that we overcome this spiritual enemy. Yeah. He's already been overcome.
Amen.
See, Jesus has already won the battle.
Amen.
You know, we're basically a mop-up crew. Well, we are. The devil has been defeated. He's been stripped of all of his authority, not his power. Now, most people get that mixed up. They think the devil has no power. You ask somebody dying of cancer if the devil's got any power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got power. He has no authority. So anytime you find something like that, a situation that is not the will of God, this person dying of cancer, that is not the will of the Father. Now, your job is to come in, Father, thy will be done. Pray in the Holy Ghost till you get the mind of Christ on what He wants to do through you, and then go in there and let Him do it.
Amen.
Whatever He says to you, do it. That will prosper.
Yeah.
You see? That's a whole lot different than man-made programs.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The will of the Father is that we enforce the defeat upon this spiritual enemy. It can only be accomplished by the anointing.
Yeah.
Now get it straight. Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day, now he was prophesying of our day, this day, that his burden shall be taken away from thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now get this straight. There is only one anointed one. That is Jesus the Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name, like it appears in our Bibles, you know, Jesus Christ. Or, you know, Christ is not his last name. What that means is Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Anointed One. Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus, Lord of all. He is the second man, the last Adam. And he has all authority in heaven and earth. But he lives in you, see. He lives in you. All right? Now, We use that term, well, so, you know, like Benny Hinn. People say all the time, Benny is so anointed. Well, you know what they mean by that. But it's really the anointing. If you're going to, you know, it's really the anointing of Christ working through Benny. That's what it is. He has allowed Christ to change his thinking and change his believing to the point that Christ is able to flow through Benny. So then we use that term, and it's okay. Well, Benny Hinn is so anointed. Well, that's fine. But it's really Christ in him doing the works. He says, Jesus said, he even said about himself, he said, it's not me doing the works. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. He said, the Son of himself can do nothing. But the Father in me, he doeth the works. Well, it's the Father is able to do the works in the earth by the anointing of Jesus Christ because he's been anointed. He is the second man, the last Adam. But now he is in you, see. He's in you. So the Father still is able to do the works in the earth by that anointed one on the inside of you. And I like to use this example so that now, if I was to come as a believer and lay my hand on Patrick, now it's Christ in me laying his hand on Patrick, and ultimately it's the Father in Christ laying his hand on Patrick. Well, no wonder he gets healed. If God the Father himself touches Patrick, cancer goes. Do you understand that? I mean, if he needs a new leg, I don't care what he needs. I mean, God can do anything. Christ in us is saying, nothing is impossible with you, Father. Blind eyes, born that way. You know, born blind. Jesus healed him to make any difference. Birth defects is no problem with Jesus. The man born crippled, lame from his mother's womb, never walked. What do you call that? Birth defect.
Yeah.
Didn't scare Jesus. Come right up there. Leap. Rise. Get on your feet and walk. And the man is jumped and everything, you know. Nothing is impossible. But it's the Father in Christ, Christ in you.
Yes.
So the Father is still able to reach from that realm of the Spirit and just touch whoever He wants to through you if you believe it.
Amen.
Now, it works by faith. Christ dwells in our heart by faith. By faith. If you don't believe it, it don't work. Okay. You with me?
Doesn't that kind of like the whole Trinity is there?
Oh, yeah. You're full. In Christ, you are complete in Him. You're actually full of the Godhead bodily. I think that was on our confessions 2 weeks ago.
Amen.
The Father, you are the temple of God.
Yeah.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit
Amen.
Bodily lives in you in Christ.
Yeah.
Isn't that stuff? Isn't that stuff? Yeah. Everywhere, everyone hold up your hand. Hold up your hand like that and look at it, like a little baby when they first discover their hand. You know? And say, I am wall-to-wall God.
I am wall-to-wall God.
Well, you said the truth that time. You said the truth. That's right. Hallelujah. Now, there's only one anointed one, and that is Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. Now, that's why at the new birth, the Holy Spirit births the Anointed One into every new believer. Now see, that is the, capital, the mystery of the gospel. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everyone say, Christ in me.
Christ in me.
It's not a mystery anymore.
It's not a mystery anymore.
I found out.
I found out.
Christ.
Christ.
The Anointed One.
The Anointed One.
Lives in me.
Lives in me.
In Him.
In Him.
Dwells all the fullness.
Dwells all the fullness.
Of the Godhead.
Of the Godhead.
Bodily.
Bodily.
That means.
That means.
The Father.
The Father,
the Son,
and the Holy Spirit,
live in my body.
Live in my body.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You go to talking like that, the devil will have a headache every time you get up. He'll get real nervous. He'll get nervous. He's saying, oh, God, don't. He said, you know, he won't say, oh, God, he doesn't call on God. But he'll say, oh, don't tell me Elaine's getting up again. Oh, no, she cast out 5 of my devils yesterday. Two blind eyes were open, 2 different people. You know, she's just undoing my works everywhere she goes. Don't tell me she's getting up again. But that all comes with getting the revelation of Christ in you. Now, not everybody is called to the pulpit-type ministry. Do you understand?
That's right.
But we're all called to be believers.
Amen.
Jesus said, believers in my name, they will, number one, first thing, cast out devils. Now, say this after me. The number one assignment.
The number one assignment.
The first thing.
The first thing.
Jesus mentioned.
Jesus mentioned.
Is I have authority.
I have authority.
Over all devils.
Over all devils.
The longest day I live.
The longest day I live.
I will never be afraid.
I will never be afraid.
Of any devils.
Of any devils.
Ever.
Ever.
Amen.
Get that straight. They're afraid of you if you know the truth about it. They're afraid of you. They got to bow to that name.
Amen.
Amen. They don't have any authority over you. Glory to God. You're the one with the authority.
Amen.
Now, it is the anointing of Christ Himself within you that enforces the defeat of the enemy. Notice something about the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. When Jesus showed up in a great light, y'all remember on the road to Damascus, while Paul was on his way to Damascus, you remember? A great light knocked him plumb off his horse. He went blind, you know, I mean, he could see this light and whoever was in it. And here's what he said. He said, Paul didn't know who it was, see, and he said in Acts 9:5, who art thou, Lord? He didn't know who it was. But he knew whoever that was, it was Lord. Whoever that is, you notice what he said?
Yeah.
Who art thou, Lord? I don't care whoever you are, you're Lord. I know that much, you know.
Amen.
Paul was pretty sharp, you know. Well, and he told him, you know, he had to tell him who he was. He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, see, this is the event where the Son, Jesus, was revealed to Paul. See, for the first time, the Son was revealed to Paul. And he said, I've been wrong. I've been wrong in what I'm doing. I've been persecuting the church because they believe in you know, I thought it was all a fairy tale. I thought it was all made up, but it's not. Amen. Jesus is real.
Amen.
And if you remember right after that, from that, you know, he started immediately going around and preaching in all the synagogues that Jesus is the Christ.
Yeah.
And that's all he knew. He said, Jesus is the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
See, and that's all he knew. Y'all heard that message I taught that time. See, and now he preached that. And that's all he could preach, because at that time, Jesus had been revealed to him as the Son of God. He knew that much. But all he would, you know, so he would go preach that and make everybody mad that everywhere he went, they wanted to kill him, you know, and we don't have any record that anybody was getting saved. And after a little while of that, Barnabas took him under his wing and said, we're going home now. took him to Tarsus, and 3 years went by. 3 years went by, okay? And, you know, those of you that heard the message, now Peter, who had spent 3.5 years with Jesus, the Holy Ghost just switches the scenes there in the book. I've got a tape on this. Just switches the scene here in the book of Acts after Saul has gone to Tarsus. And it shows us what's going on in the life of Peter. Now, Peter knows a little bit more about Jesus. He knows Christ a little better at this point than Saul did. So, when we see Peter's ministry, what he does, he just comes into the town, just like that guy that went to India, heals a bunch of folks, and the whole city gets saved. The whole city, it says, turned to the Lord. I mean, that's what the Bible said. The whole city turned to the Lord. Then he goes down to Joppa, which is a bigger city, raises this girl from the dead. By the way, you know, she gets up, she's eating, everyone sees this. By the way, would any of y'all like to get saved? You know? And it says, many turned to the Lord. Okay? But see, Peter knew something at that point that Saul didn't know yet. At this point, Saul, Jesus had only been revealed to him. But after he had spent that time praying in the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Hallelujah. Okay. That event on the Damascus Road was where the Son was revealed to Paul. But Paul was not really trained and equipped at that point to be a soldier in the army of God. Paul had to go to the boot camp of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us what was required for him to be trained and equipped to accomplish his assignment in the army of God. And it's Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, then, see, that I might preach him among the heathen. It was not enough to have the Son revealed to him. To be qualified to preach him among the heathen, it was necessary for the Son to be revealed in him. Why? Because it is the anointed one in us who destroys the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
See? Most of us, sad to say, you know, yours truly included, most of us at this point have a pretty good revelation of Christ to us. We're not walking in a whole lot of revelation of Christ in us.
Amen.
Hello.
Right.
Hello. We're really not. We're really not. See? That's what we've got to change. When you start getting the revelation of Christ in you, you're out of boot camp now. See? Now my job really, I cannot train you. I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. No, you know, Jesus said, don't call any man your teacher. Don't you do it. Don't you call any man your father. Well,
that's right.
Ultimately, you know. But don't you call any man your teacher. I can't train you, really. The only true trainer, the only one that Jesus said, I am sending someone to teach you. He's going to guide you into all truth. See, not just the knowledge of the truth, but the possession of it.
Amen.
Not where you just know about Christ, but he will reveal Christ in you.
Amen.
Where you walk with him and you talk with him, just like that song says, you know. And he tells you what he'd like to do, and you say, yes, sir, let's go do that. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. Say anything you want to say. You can do anything you want through my body. He says, well, son, where I want to go, they might stone you to death. Will you raise me up? Yeah, I will. Okay, we'll go.
Amen.
Well, yeah, we'll go whether you raise me up or not, really. Hey, I was just trying to take them one step at a time. You're taking them all the way to glory here. Hallelujah. One step at a time. That's really what it's about, see? Now, my job here is really just to make sure when this boot camp is over. See, I'm not responsible for you guys doing a lick of anything. Do you understand that?
That's right.
My job is to convey to you the information so that your destiny is in your own hands. What I mean by that is this. As long as I know that you know how to turn yourself over to the training ministry of the Holy Spirit, then my assignment is over. I can't change you. I can't get on the inside of you and change your character, your nature, your selfishness, anything. I really can't. Jealousy. I can't get in there and change any of that. I can't get on the inside of you. But all of that is part of the training of the Holy Spirit. So my only job really is to just to make sure. Now, Andy, do you know what to do? See, do you know how to let the Holy Ghost be your trainer? Tell me what you need to do. See, and if he capitulates back and tells me correctly, you're out of boot camp. It's up to you. It's up to you now. You see, that's all I can do for you. All right, going a little further here. It is the Anointed One in us who destroys the yoke of bondage. See, ultimately, it's Christ in you. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
The church at large, I'm talking about the church, you know, the whole church, worldwide, at large, it has almost no revelation of Christ in every believer. But He is. If He's not in you, you're not born again. Do you understand that? Because I didn't put this one on there. I ran out of paper. But in Romans it says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Galatians chapter 4. Amen. Look it up when you get home. Galatians chapter 4. So the Spirit of Christ is in you. In fact, in Romans 8 it says, if He's not in you, you're none of His. You're none of His. So, see, I like to think about it like this. He's in you, but He's like veiled. It's a mystery. It's a mystery, Paul said. And it is a mystery.
Amen.
I mean, you talk about something, what we're talking about tonight is so foreign to the natural human being. You know, the one that's not born again. They think we're crazy for talking like this.
Yes.
You know? And to me, it's the most reasonable thing there is. I mean, the Holy Ghost is good at what He does.
Amen.
I was talking with Nick. They've only been here 3 weeks. And Nick and Linda Guida, they just moved up here from Florida. And they're getting into the training, you know. And then there was kind of an emergency, and they had to fly back to New York. And that's where her mother lives. And so they're kind of up there with the old crowd now, you know. He called me, he says, I just have to hear a reasonable, friendly voice. He says, they've been up there about 3 days, you know. And he says, boy, you don't realize how transformed you are till you get around the bunch you came from that hasn't been transformed at all, you know. He said, these people are crazy. I used to think they were all the smart ones, you know, and I'm telling you, they're crazy. They're all nuts, you know. Of course, they think he's crazy. You know, hallelujah. Yeah, you don't realize how transformed you are. After we've been going for a little while to the prayer center, I wound up getting a haircut up here at the barber shop where I used to get it cut, and I hadn't been in that place in several years. I went in there just listening to these guys. All they're talking about are the skirts they're after. You know what I mean by that, church? You know, their conquests, the beer bash they had. We're going to go fishing. We're taking a keg. I mean, just everything they're talking about, I'm going, oh, God. I used to join right in with all that stuff. I mean, that was just normal to me, you know. And it was like, I'm more transformed than I thought I was. You know, I didn't realize how much had been going on in me, you know. Hallelujah. Let's get back to this here now. Okay. The church at large has almost no revelation of Christ in every believer, but He is. He is in there. The question could be asked, Brother Gary, if it is true that Christ, the Anointed One, is in me, then why doesn't He seem to do the same works that He did when He was on the earth in His own body? Good question. Now I'm going to be real nice. Now, notice that Paul said in that verse we looked at up there, look at the verse again. It's the one that says, Galatians 1, 15 and 16. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal, that word reveal, his son in me, okay? That Greek word translated revealed is apokalupto. Apokalupto? Okay, whatever what she said. The book of Revelations is the apokaleptos. Apokaleptos, right? I do good? Hallelujah. It's the same thing. Just like the book of Revelations is the revelation of Jesus Christ, it starts right off saying that. Okay? What the Holy Spirit has come to do is to reveal. He's to bring the revelation of Christ in you. Amen. But it's a mystery, see? It means that word apokalupto...
You're right.
Apokalupto, whatever. And means to take off the cover, to disclose, or reveal. See, it's a mystery. But it can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. There's no other way, you people. There's no other way. You can talk with somebody like Dave, who's way more transformed to the mind of Christ than I am. You know, and I'll go in and talk to Dave, and he'll tell me stuff that I know is alive in him. I mean, it makes perfect sense what he says. And it's like birds flying way over my head. I'm going, what? What? You know? And I know it's real to him. I know he understands what he's trying to tell me, you know? And then sometimes he says it down low enough where I grasp what he said. I actually, my mind goes, yes, I do understand that. I do understand that. That doesn't mean I can walk in it. I'm not transformed to it. And the good example that I gave, I think, was it last night? The good example is the one, you know, in Luke chapter 6, where he says, well, if they come to sue you at the law and they want your cloak or coat, give them your cloak also. And the modern day thing would be if they come to take away your car, well, you're supposed to go gas it up, wash it, wax it, vacuum it out, get down on your hands and knees with a toothbrush, clean the hubcaps, get it looking just as good as you possibly can, and then give it to them. Now, you can hear me preach that till your ears fall off. But wait till it's your car they're after. Yeah. See if you're able to walk in that. If you haven't prayed a whole lot in the Holy Ghost, I promised you, you're going to get your shotgun to fend your car. You know what I'm saying? You can hear me preach it, but you can't walk in it until the Holy Spirit reveals that level of Christ in you. He can do it. Christ can forgive them when they nail him on a cross. And he can do that in you once you're transformed to that image. But you think you can transform yourself? How many of you think you can? We're going to have a prayer line. Yeah. Man can't save man. Have you figured that out? You can't, you know? You tried that, been there, got the t-shirt, you know, whatever. You know, you can't save yourself. That's religion. All religions, whatever name you put on them, including Christian, all religions is basically man trying to change man. Here's all these rules and laws and regulations and do all this and you'll be okay. And you know, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, that all, you're all dead. You know, anyone trying to get to heaven that way, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it, see. No, life, Christianity is life. You got to be born into it. It's a messy thing. You ever been around births? It's messy. You know, but it's life. Life is messy. Okay? But being around, I mean, that's the way it is, though. The Christian life is life. It's not dogma. Well, we're going to get to that. I messed up some of them with that one, I guess. I clean it up, okay? The Holy Spirit is actually the only true boot camp trainer. The Son is never going to be revealed in you until you submit yourself to the one who has been sent to reveal him. And that's the Holy Spirit. As you spend time with him via, that means by, meditation of the Word, prayer, and fasting, he will take off the cover and reveal Christ in you.
Amen.
Your hope, and I bracketed that, your only hope.
Yeah.
I got news for your head. None of you are the Messiah. It's either Christ revealed in you, it's either going to be his glory. If the sick are going to be healed, it's going to be his glory in you. You got that?
Amen.
You yourself are not ever going to get perfect enough for God to anoint you yourself. See? And that's where we've missed it. Because the devil loves that. Well, the reason God can't anoint you, son, the reason he can't use you, you're just too messed up. You know? And so, if the devil can convince him of that, He'll spend his whole life trying to get perfect where God could anoint him. And the whole thing is an effort and futility.
Yep.
What God is saying is, no, be a taxi. I'll put the perfect one in you. You just do what he tells you. Everything will be fine, okay? The anointing will flow. The perfect one's in you. You're not perfect. He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, boy, I prayed about this. I mean, I pray over the whole thing, but I especially prayed about the action page because the thing I got to be careful of is give you some kind of cheap formula.
Amen.
On this. There's no such thing as that.
That's right.
This is life. Amen. This is going to take a relationship between two living persons, you and the living Christ.
Amen.
See, just like marriage is not a formula. Marriage takes work.
Yeah.
Marriage takes time. Marriage takes fellowship. Marriage takes sacrifice on both sides, okay? Hallelujah. Now watch this. The revealing of Christ, the anointed one, in us is progressive. Now, all I mean by that, the Bible says that we are transformed into that image as we behold His glory from glory to glory. So whatever revelation that you're... Well, actually, before you got here tonight, every one of you had a certain degree of revelation of Christ in you, didn't you? I think when you leave here, you're going to have a little more.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
You're going to have a little more. Well, that's the way it's going to be your whole life. And you're never going to come to the end of totally understanding Christ in you. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ. I mean, for eternity, we're going to be discovering new facets of what we have inherited in Christ. I mean, there's no end to it. He is eternal. Hallelujah. Come in the house. Glory to God. I don't know what to tell you about where to sit, but welcome. Hallelujah. Okay, but it is progressive. Now, what that means is your revelation of Christ in you tonight means one thing to you. If you're diligent and you do what we're talking about tonight, next week, you'll be walking in a little higher revelation of Christ in you. And the week after that, a little more. And the week after that, a little more. You know? And eventually you get to the place you'll be like Paul in Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. You know? It's not even me that's living. Well, yeah, it's me, but it's Christ in me. He was so walking with Christ, he had trouble distinguishing himself. You can be like that. You can be like that. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But Paul is going, well, I'm dead. Well, no, I'm alive. No, it's Christ in me. Well, you know. But he had become so transformed to the image of Christ, he was having trouble distinguishing him, separating himself from Christ in him. They were becoming one. That's the gospel.
Amen.
See? And my job is to make sure that you know how to get in touch with the one who's able to do that. That's the Holy Spirit. Nobody else can do it for you either.
That's right.
Going to church will never do this.
That's right.
You're going to have to spend time... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Going to church is good.
Yeah.
But I don't care how good that pastor is. He can't get inside of you.
That's right. Amen.
Holy Ghost can.
Amen.
That's why it works from the inside out. Anyway. The revealing of Christ, the anointed one, is progressive. Now, Paul himself, the one I just quoted from Galatians 2:20, what a statement, right? But now watch, even after all the miracles and the healings that the Lord had done through him, did not consider that he himself had arrived at the fullness of knowing him. Philippians 3:10 through 14. This is my heart cry, and I know this is your heart cry. It's the same as Paul's. That I may know him.
Amen.
But see, all the rest of this comes with it. We shout amen on that. Yes, know him.
Amen.
And the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. And the fellowship of his sufferings.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, you say that at Thursday night. Next time somebody says that real ugly thing to you, we'll see how much you like the suffering when you don't respond back and he tells you go buy him a new watch. But Lord, that's my last $40. I know. Do we have a problem? Go buy the watch. It costs $40. For that guy who said I was ugly and my mother dressed me funny? Yeah, for that guy. See? Oh, yeah, conformed, what was that again? The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Why, though? See, why? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, just so you'll know, so no religious phony can get in there later on and mess you up, that's the only time in the whole Bible, in the Greek, this word, it has out. There's a little prefix that means out resurrection. What he's really talking about, see, we're all going to be resurrected someday. All believers are going to be resurrected. We're going to taste the powers of the age to come. Okay? You're going to be able to walk through walls with your glorified body. Isn't that something? See? But what Paul's talking about, he's saying, I can live now. Taste of the powers of the age to come now. It's like, walk in that resurrection life of Jesus now, in this age. See? That's what he's talking about. He's trying to attain to the resurrection life of Christ. Now, Christ in his body. Okay? Now, not as though I had already attained. And Paul had done pretty good. I mean, you know, how many devils had he already cast out? How many people raised from the dead? You remember that one guy, he was preaching late, and the guy fell out of the third story window and died? Not a problem. Hang on just a minute. Small interruption. Go over. Laid his body on the guy. Oh, no problem. His spirit's in him. Gets up. Finishes his message. Amen. Now we're going, that's attaining pretty well. But Paul himself, he says, no, I don't count myself to have attained yet. Either we're already perfect. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, everything that Jesus had in mind when he appeared to me on that road to Damascus, when I finish my course, I want to make sure that I got it all done. Everything that he wanted me to do or do actually do through me in this life, I want to make sure that all of it gets done. See? And Jesus had a plan for your life when you got saved, actually before the foundation of the world. Our goal for each and every one of us is at the end of our life, we will have apprehended, we will have accomplished everything that he had in mind. Amen?
Amen.
All right? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, does the word press indicate to you there's some effort involved?
Yeah.
You ever tried to press weights? There's effort involved. You know, I'm going to be a bodybuilder. I've made up my mind. Yes, I'm going to be a bodybuilder. And you go down to the gym and you press weights one day. And the next morning, when your eyes open and you're so sore, your eyelashes hurt. I mean, you know what I mean? Your eyebrows hurt. Your memories hurt. Everything about you hurts. And all of a sudden you're going, I don't think I want to press anymore. I don't want to press any more weights. I don't want to do that. See, that's what happens to us. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Mark's got a word he's going to share. I mean, you talk about the same Holy Ghost. Wait till you hear this in a minute. Hallelujah. Now, there is no formula I can give you to accomplish this. The best I can do is point you to the Holy Spirit, who has been sent for the express purpose of revealing Christ in you. Now, the goal is to know Christ himself.
Amen.
And to know that he himself lives in you. We must become more Christ inside minded. Now, we all tend to think of Jesus only being in heaven. My mind tends to do that. Every time I pray, my first thought is, Our Father which art in heaven. Because that's the way Jesus, you know, I mean, at the time he gave us that model prayer, I mean, of course God the Father is in heaven, isn't he?
Yes.
Of course. Where is Jesus physically in his glorified body? Seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But see, also, Christ is in you. And that's what we've got to start getting the revelation of, that he's in you to do everything that God has anointed him to do. Okay? We're going to have to, let's see, where was that? We must become more Christ inside minded. We all tend to think of Jesus only being in heaven. He is in heaven, but he is also in us. See, your born again spirit is the Holy of Holies where the living Christ dwells.
Amen.
Right now. Dave was preaching there the other day, and I mean, I knew it, but every time I hear it, it just boggles my mind. Because we know how we are, don't we?
Yeah.
We know how we are. I mean, you do know how you are. Don't look at me with that holy, righteous look. So we get to thinking, again, well, that God could never use me. I know how I am. But now, see, the Holy Spirit is so holy that if He was to come and just really, in His holiness, come up against sin, it's going to be disintegrated. It's going to, you know, no man can see God and live. Okay? But Dave was saying, and God, it just went through me again. He says, we don't understand what happened to us at the new birth. That new spirit that God created in you, that is the Holy of Holies. And it is so holy. It is, you are so pure on the inside in your spirit that God, the Holy Spirit Himself, can live there. Think about that. What kind of work did He do in us? But we're not conscious of our spirit, we're conscious of our soul, we're conscious of our bodies. See, the Bible says spirit, soul, and body. But man, you know, normally you talk to the natural man, well, I believe that body and soul.
Yeah.
Body conscious, soul conscious, no conscious of the spirit at all. I mean, you know, really. Yeah, body and soul, I believe that. You hear them say that all the time. See? Body first, soul second, spirit. I don't know what you're talking about. But the truth is, you are so clean, washed whiter than snow. That Holy of Holies in you is so pure. It was created especially to be the Holy of Holies, where the Holy Spirit could come and birth the living Christ in you. That is the truth. If it wasn't true and God showed up in you, you'd burst, you'd die, you'd be disintegrated. No man can see me and live, He says. No flesh. But He sure can come in there in your spirit. He's in there. Everyone go, He's in there.
He's in there.
I got a Holy of Holies.
I got a Holy of Holies.
In me.
In me.
Christ lives in there.
Christ lives in
there. The living Christ.
The living Christ.
And in Him.
And in Him.
Dwells all the fullness.
Dwells all the fullness.
Of the Godhead bodily.
Of the Godhead bodily.
So in me.
So in me.
God the Father.
God the Son.
God the Son.
God the Holy Spirit.
God the Holy Spirit.
Lives in my body.
Lives in my body. That's the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth. Now, the only reason we have a hard time believing that again is we know how we are. It's got nothing to do with how you are. It's got to do with how He is. And He lives in you. Again, you could have. Oh, let's see. I wasn't really planning on this one. Should I do that, Lord?
Yeah.
Well, hang on. You're not the Lord. I love you, but you're not the Lord. Hallelujah. See the way it works. You could take the President of the United States. Now, normally, when we think of the President, let's think about a different President. Let's think about. I liked Reagan myself, okay? I don't know. Some president you liked, anyway. But we normally don't think about the President of the United States driving around in a beat-up old 55 dirty Chevy, you know, that's all beat up and all. You know, we normally think about, well, you know, that's not right. He ought to be in the limousine and all of that. But, you know, the truth of it is, he could ride in a beat-up dirty that needs a washing 55 Chevrolet, couldn't he? And when he got out, he'd still be president, wouldn't he? See, that's the concept we've got to understand. Okay? I mean, it's Him that's perfect. We're the taxi. Okay, maybe you do need a washing. Maybe you do. Maybe you need a washing. I need a washing sometimes, don't you guys? I need a fresh washing in the blood myself sometimes, okay?
Amen.
But do you understand the concept of what I'm saying? Even if He uses, God forbid, Andy. If God should choose to use Andy to go somewhere, when they get there, guess what? Christ in Andy is still Christ. He hasn't lost one bit of His anointing because Andy was a little dirty that day.
Okay.
Now, normally the problem when Andy's a little dirty, he won't obey Christ because he feels condemned.
Yeah.
And the devil takes him out. That's what really happens.
Yeah.
See? But it's Christ in him that's doing the work. It's not him anyway. See? Now, I'm not advocating being dirty, you understand me? What I am advocating is tell the devil to shut up. When he starts telling you, well, God can't use you because of this, and God can't use you because of that. Well, dear God, he used Lynette. I mean, that ought to give hope to us all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God these people love me. I'd be in big trouble. I'd be in big trouble. Oh, give her an extra piece of pie. Whoa, excuse me, honey. I didn't see you there. Hallelujah. Heal her, Jesus. Okay, we better press on here. Speaking of pressing. Hallelujah. Your born-again spirit is the holy of holies where the living Christ dwells. Christ himself lives in you. It's not enough to know about him. We must come to where we know him, himself, in us. Now get this. He is not a principle. He is not a force. He is not a religion. Amen. He is not a code of conduct. He is not a formula. He is him. You got that? Now get this. He is the I am in you. He is real. He is alive. He has personality. He has a voice. He will talk with you. He will lead you. And he will work through your earthen vessel once the Holy Spirit reveals him in you. And all that means is once you understand it. That it's only him, and I mean just him in you. See, but it's such a mystery to us, we just have a hard time believing that. And it won't work if you don't believe it. Christ must dwell in your heart by faith. You have to believe it. But he sure will if you do. Glory to God. He will so fill you with himself, spirit, soul, and body, until his anointing literally flows from within you out through your flesh, to destroy the yokes of bondage that the enemy has enslaved humanity with. See, he's still in the business of setting the captives free.
Amen.
He's still in the business of opening the blind eyes. He's still in the business of saving the drug addict. He's still in the business of casting out devils. The only difference, he's using your body to travel in instead of his own. That's the only difference. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just using your body now. If he can get us to obey him. And not believe the trash of the devil. The devil convincing you that for some reason God won't use you. He will too. Trust me, he will. He'll get you so busy. God likes busy people. Because why? He's got lots of work to get done in the earth. There's lots of sick folks out there. There's lots of lost folks in Tulsa. He's not wanting one of them to go to hell. See? But the devil has so hoodwinked the church to think we're all such slimy dog worms. That every time Jesus asks us to do something, well, that can't be God. That he couldn't use me. I'm not worthy. You're right. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way. You're right, devil. I'm not worthy. He is. He's not asking me to be worthy. He's asking me to be obedient. He's the worthy one. It's his anointing God uses, not mine, for crying out loud. I'm just a taxi. Okay, well, you're too dirty. Watch this, devil. Father, I plead the blood. Hallelujah. I'm clean now. Glory to God. Devil's in for trouble. Whether you all really realize it or not, that revival is coming. God's getting you ready for it. He needs you. He needs you. Amen. Good stuff. I like this myself. Hallelujah. I said that. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay. He will reveal, and that means manifest himself in you. Now, this is the goal of your true trainer, the Holy Spirit. The only thing required of you, and that's all of us, is to yield yourself to the training ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the problem. Here's the rub right here. The problem for most people is, however, see, that requires time. That requires time. Most people simply love their lives too much to spend long hours praying in other tongues so that this mystery can be revealed in them. Most people are not willing to lay down their lives to spend long hours in worship until they are actually in His presence. Most people have not... Now y'all won't agree with this, but most of them haven't. Most people have not yet read through the New Testament once, much less give long hours to meditation by, for example, reading whole books of the Bible 50 times until their spirit is equipped for meditation day and night, like the Bible says. Did y'all like that on Gaius last night?
Yeah.
Are you glad I read that time after time after time? I can't even tell you how many times I've read that. Praying in other tongues. It's amazing how dumb we are. How I could read that many times and never get that, I don't know. But I do know when the light dawned, I mean, it dawned. Well, wasn't that good stuff? I don't care if I preached it or not. That's good stuff. It's not the messenger, it's the message. Amen. And that, boy, I mean, still, even today, he's just expanding that all through. He's starting to unlock 1 John for me, which has always been a real hard book for me. And boy, he's starting to, you know, he's using that to unlock passages of it. I'll eventually get it. But how many times are you going to read 1 John? 50, 100, 150, 200, because I'm not going to quit till I get it. And I mean every word in it. Every word in it. God didn't send His Bible here for us not to understand it. He sent it here for us to understand it. But that takes time. Hallelujah. Time. Well, most people are not going to read 3 John 50 times. I mean, you know, they're just not going to do it. They love their lives too much, you know. So most people wind up living their own unanointed lives instead of ever coming to the place where Christ can live His anointed life through them. When Smith, do y'all know who Smith Wigglesworth was? Okay. When he was at the peak of his anointed ministry, and what a ministry it was, one of his common phrases was, "I live by the power of another." And he always capitalized that A. Amen. When we come to the... How many of y'all would like for Christ to live His life through you? That's all.
Amen.
That's what it's about. When you get the revelation of that, boot camp's over. As long as you know how to turn yourself over to the Holy Ghost. See, then boot camp's over. Because really, from then on, it's just a matter of you doing it. And that's the very word that Mark's got to share here tonight. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is something else, I'm telling you. Now, that's the goal for each and every one of us. We must decrease. He must increase. I cannot give you a formula for that. I can't give you a formula. In the same way that you come to know any other living person, you're going to have to develop a relationship with the living Christ yourself. Relationships are never developed without spending time with each other. Which of you has ever developed a relationship with another human being without spending time with them? It's impossible. You can know them. You can know it. Sue and I have been married. We're going on 22 years. It'll be 22 years. Now, we could have been married on paper only. Say that she lived here and I lived in England or something. And all we ever knew about each other were just correspondence. Now, we could have learned a lot about each other that way. Okay? But I'm telling you, that is a far cry from 22 years living together, sharing every relationship, talking about your hopes and your dreams, learning about the things that makes you sad and the things that make you glad about each other. You know, a relationship requires time and it requires fellowship. Okay? You don't build a relationship any other way. That's why there's no real formula I can give you. It's going to take time. Well, I like to go to church. Well, you ought to go. When do you talk to the Lord, though? When do you worship Him yourself in your house? When do you pray in other tongues so that the Holy Spirit can be just communicating directly with you and explaining Jesus to you? Revealing, taking that cover off where you can start seeing Christ in you. That's what He's here to do. See? But it takes time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Relationships are never developed without spending time with each other. You never have yet developed a relationship with anybody without spending time with them. Now, you can have casual acquaintances, and that's what Jesus is with most of us. A kind of a casual acquaintance. Well, he's Lord, you know. Yeah. Well, I know that. I know that. Does he ever talk to you? You know, see, you know, did he give you instructions to do today? What were they? Did you do them? We're talking about that kind of relationship. You know? Okay. I'm hurrying. I heard that. Helper Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here for the express purpose of revealing Christ in you. Spend time with Him. Now, all I can suggest is the teacher. Now, this is my part. I have to make sure that you know how to use the tools that have been given to us. There's no formula, but He has given us some tools. Here's some things to do. One, meditate the Word of God. If you don't know how, now I'm instructing you now. If you don't know how, you believe God if you have to, for $35. And you buy Dave Roberson's tapes, it's the big set, on meditation, imagery, and delivery. That is a college course on how to meditate the Word of God. And when I listened to that, after I listened to it, I don't know how many times, I had 9 books on my shelf in here, all by good Christian men, on how to meditate God's Word. I threw all 9 of them out. They were all good, but they were mostly the reasonings of the mind. They were not the Spirit of God. If you want to learn how to meditate, get that set of tapes. Listen to them and listen to them. Do you understand how to do it? Now, do you understand that? Did you understand the English? Huh? My part of that is over. If you don't get the tapes, it's your fault. Got that? I'm clean of your blood. I mean, I didn't stutter, did I? Buy the tapes. Listen to them until you get it, till you know how to do it, to where you could teach somebody else how to do it. Okay? Did I stutter? You got it? All right. Two. Pray much in other tongues.
Amen.
Now, praying in other tongues is probably the greatest gift next to Jesus that God has given to the church.
Yes.
Because none of us know what to pray for as we ought. When you start off, you don't even know what God wants you to do. You don't know what your call is. You don't know anything. You know? So, he says, what can we do to solve this dilemma? I know. We will give them a language that they don't even understand. And if they will just yield to the Holy Spirit, my Spirit, who already knows the plan of God for their life, will begin praying as if they were praying it themselves. And I will answer that prayer as if they did pray it themselves, and I will start moving them, even unknown to them, into my perfect plan for their life. And then people don't want to pray in other tongues. And they come in here telling me, oh, I wish I knew, if I could only find out what God called me to be. You know? And because I walk in love, I don't hit them much. Okay? You know? You know, but I, you know, to come in here and tell me, you know, get real spiritual, use that voice, you know, Brother Gary. been saved and Spirit-filled, you know, been going 10 years now. And I don't know why it is, Brother Gary, that God just, I just so want to know what He's called me to do. If I could only find out what His call is on my life. Oh, it's the greatest desire of my heart, you know. They're still using that voice, you know. And I just want to slap them. Every time they tell me that, I know already they're not spending any time praying in other tongues. And I have to be real nice because I'm not supposed to slap them. See? But when they tell me that, I already know they're not doing it. Well, yeah, I am. No. No, I said do it. Praying, we're not talking about 15 minutes, 30 minutes, even 1 hour a day. If you're hungry, if you're really telling me the truth and you want to know your call, you'll pray until you find out what your call is. What are you telling me? The Holy Spirit failed in His mission with you? You're doing everything right? You're giving Him the time He needs and somehow He's holding back the answer from you? Is that what you're telling me? See, that really is what you're telling me. You're just using different words. But I know the interpretation. But I'm always nice to them, at least so far. Now, do you understand what praying much in other tongues means?
A lot.
A whole bunch. How long do I do it, Brother Gary? Till you get the answer. Till you know. 10,000 years. I don't care. Who you know? Okay. Three, worship the Lord Himself daily. That's the best thing you did all day was worship the Lord. God loves worship. Have you figured that out yet? It's your safety. It's your protection. Get in the dwelling place, that secret place of the Most High, is under His wing, man. You got to get up close. You got to get in His presence where His shadow is overshadowing you. That's the secret place of the Most High. Worship is how you get in there. No worship, no protection, man. Well, for a while, His grace goes a long way. I guess I couldn't go that far, but you're sure better shape if you worship the Lord. Get in His presence. Hallelujah. And then four, begin confessing as present tense truth everything that the Word of God says about you. Now, concerning that one, that last one, confession, y'all know we teach it here a bunch, right? Now, a good place to start is to use that same those same two confession pages that came with your lesson 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. C-196, The Power to Witness. Those two pages has everything to do with Christ in you. If you just start confessing those, because that's exactly what they say about you, if you'll say them, remember the Holy Spirit performs the spoken word. He performs what He hears. The more you say it, the more you believe it. The more you believe it, the more Christ can work through you. And then the more you say it, the more you believe it. And then the more you believe it, the more Christ can work through you. And it'll just keep growing and growing and growing until, again, the devil will have a headache when you start getting up in the morning. He'd be wondering what all Christ is going to do through you today. That's how it works. But that's real good. There wasn't any point reprinting those. You just use those from that lesson, okay? Now, you can begin your fellowship with Christ by agreeing with Him. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? No. Begin saying what the Word of God says about Him in you. You will never have much of a relationship with Jesus if you're continually speaking the opposite of what He says about you. I mean, that's just so plain, isn't it? He says you're strong. Don't be coming over here whining, telling me you're weak. You're strong. He says you're righteous. Don't be coming here telling me about all your faults. You know, that's good once in a while to come confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. That's amnesty. We just have that occasionally. But what I'm talking about, giving me all this hangdog stuff about, well, I'm just such a slimy dog worm, there's no way God could use me. You're not agreeing with what the Bible says about you. That's not, you know, you are the righteousness of God in Him, my Bible says. Hang on. Okay, we're just about done here. Hallelujah. You will never have much of a... Okay, I said that. You are developing a relationship with a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And the more you come to know Him, the more you come to know the Father who sent Him, and that is eternal life, see? John 17:3, and this is life. I mean, this is Jesus' words. The end of all debate is right here. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank You, Jesus.